It's all things life and love with an emphasis on healthy relationships. It's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on The Truth. Dr. Rick deals honestly and openly with issues affecting your relationships from a Christian perspective. And now, licensed relationship therapist and marriage coach, Dr. Rick Marks.
Welcome to another wonderful time with Dr. Rick Marks at Real Talk Radio. That's right. This is Real Talk Radio with Dr. Rick of Live the Life Ministries. You know, it's always exciting to be here, knowing I get to come and share with you from our heart at our ministry, which is really focused on strengthening marriages and families and individuals for the kingdom and for community, so that our communities that we live in are stronger, healthier, have lower divorce, greater happiness, and greater peace. Because the Prince of Peace is come that we might have life and life more abundant. And we really believe at Live the Life Ministries that marriage and family ministries is not just a discipleship ministry, but can also be used for outreach into the community, since there's so many people struggling and hurting today. And they're looking for help in ways that are effective. And if you've been following the work here in Jacksonville, Annie, you have learned that we have seen a 28% drop in Jacksonville, Duval County's divorce rate in the last two and a half years, and been individually validated by University of Virginia, Dr. Brad Wilcox, and Florida State University got involved with that. And we're excited to say that, you know, the work that we do is having an impact, because my daughter said it best a long time ago: when you save a marriage, you save a generation. Because we know the kids that come from divorce homes, and my wife and I both came from divorce broken homes, we understand the impact of being divorced kids. Now, parents who divorce don't understand the effects that it has on the kids, or if they do, they think they'll get over it. But yet there's a lot of research that has shown through longitudinal studies that the effects of divorce will still stay with kids into their 40s. Now, I'm 57. I've grown and healed a lot, but don't fool yourself. It did have an impact in my life that I still had to overcome. And Live Life Ministries is really here to help people have the abundant life heart that Jesus said we could have. So we don't want you just living life. We want you to live the life, which is the abundant life. If you have a question or a comment, feel free to reach out to us on realtalk@livethelife.org. That's our email, realtalk@livethelife.org. Or you can visit our Facebook page, Real Talk with Dr. Rick. That's Real Talk with Dr. Rick on our Facebook page. Just leave a note there, say hey, and leave a question or a comment. If there's some topic you would like me to address in the future, feel free to do that. Now, we are in the holiday season, of course. In the holiday season, everybody wants to ramp up and talk about all the things around the holiday, all right? However, we are a marriage and family initiative. And listen, folks, whether you like it or not, the foundation of society is not the church. It's not a business. It is marriages and families. All societies rest on the strength of the marriages and families. And there's systems in society that help strengthen marriage and families, or they don't. They actually destroy them. And we are an organization that directly wants to impact society by making sure the church is strengthening marriage and families in a way that is strong, in a way that has meaning and value, in a way that actually what we call has efficacy even a 1 year out. You know, one of the neat things about our work here is that the curriculum that we teach is called Adventures in Marriage, and we're a vision curriculum, meaning we provide information, insights, and principles, but we don't just stop there. We actually teach you the skills. We teach you how to be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. We teach you how to speak the truth in love. We teach you how to do these things, not just about them. And that's what makes us uniquely different in the culture, in that we're a part of a growing movement that says if you don't teach people how to do the word, you have not helped them, you've not empowered them. Even the state of Florida gets this, folks. I mean, think this through with me for a minute. If you go get 100 on your written exam for the license to drive a car, the state of Florida might be impressed with you, okay? Because you have this person, well, they aced the test, right? the written exam, but you're not going to get a license. Why? Because the state of Florida says you still have to get a car and drive the car. Why would you have to drive the car if you aced the written exam? You could talk about it. Here's why. Even all 50 states understand knowing about driving a car doesn't mean you have the skills. Show me you can do what you know. And when we look at the idea of pedagogy and teaching, when you look at teaching and I forget the word I want to use right now. Anyways, just how to teach and communicate and help people transform, you got to teach them what to do different. Or the scripture says, don't be hearers only, but doers of the word. Where we come along is we teach people how to do the word. We don't assume that they actually know how. I did not know how. I grew up in a broken home, and what was modeled for me was not healthy marriage. I had to go learn it, and fortunately, two men came into my life to give me the skills and that I needed, and I actually went and sought them out. I found mentors, I found teachers, and I learned how to be angry and sin not. I learned how to be slow to anger, quick to hear, and slow to speak. I learned how to speak the truth in love. You understand, in order to do that verse, you have to move to humility. In order to do that verse, you have to learn how to regulate the lower order emotional brain. And so this is the great opportunity that we have at Live the Life, is that seeing a 28% drop in divorce in Duval County, we've been leadership in that. And yes, I'm excited about it, but there's more to be done. And we believe that the church is the best place to do this work, because the church has these systems in place in order to transform society by transforming marriage and families in a way with efficacy, by teaching the skills that people need, and can use those programs as an evangelist outreach to the culture, because the culture is looking for it. They're looking for the people who are actually having an effect. And so that's our passion. Now, it is the holiday season, and so we're going to take a look real quickly at Matthew chapter 18, all the way down to verse 25. I'm going to read it for us, and then I'm going to kind of break it down. We're going to look at it as Mary and Joseph in their marriage. All right, now, one thing I do want to point out to you is that back in those days, marriage was a little bit different today. I mean, here you got engaged, and then you got married, all right? Now, we know that 42% of all children in America will be born out of wedlock, which means premarital sex is happening quite a bit, all right? Back in those days, biblical days, people got married, but they didn't consummate the marriage till after a period of time, all right? So it's like what we call engagement today, they call marriage, they were betrothed, and then the consummation of that would come later, all right? We do that all in one fell swoop, if you will, all right? I get married and then consummate it on what we call the honeymoon. Now, and so we're going to start out here and take a look at this relationship during their, quote, engagement period when she ends up being pregnant, all right? Now, you think about this for yourself, and I'm going to kind of point out some traits here among Joseph in particular, and then really kind of relate that back to how am I doing in my marriage in these areas, right? How am I living that out with my wife, Luella? So let me go ahead and read here from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. It says here, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, this would be like me being engaged to Luella, and she goes, oh, by the way, I'm engaged, but I'm pregnant, and it's somebody else's. I mean, you think about what would have gone through Joseph's mind. I mean, angry, hurt. I'm dedicated to you. I'm waiting for you. And you go and do this to me? He had to have a lot of hurt. He had a lot of questions inside of him, right? And it says here, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, and did not want to disgrace her publicly. You see, even though he wanted to put her away, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Even though he had to be hurt, even though he had to be struggling, even though that he wasn't sure what to do with it, even though I'm sure he felt betrayed, he was a man of character and wanted to put her away quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. He was obedient. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. So here's some things I want to think about. Number one is Joseph is a man of character. He's a man of character. I mean, even though he finds out that this lady he loves, this woman he's looking for, he's engaged to her, they are married, but they haven't consummated the marriage. And all of a sudden, during this engagement period, his bride shows up as pregnant. Now, we already said, what would that be like for you if that happened to you? Some of you I know it may have happened to. I've worked with many couples when they are engaged, they found out that their spouse cheated on them during the engagement and continued to get married anyways, but they took that hurt and they took that feeling of betrayal into the marriage. You see, he's a man of character. Why do I know that? It's because he decided, even though with his hurt and his pain, because he's human, he had to have felt that, he decided to put her away quietly. Why? Because he did not want to disgrace her. He did not want to shame her. He was caring. This is my second trait about the man. He was caring enough of this woman that he loved, named Mary, to not shame her, disgrace her, to humiliate her publicly. So he went to put her, he wanted to put her away and stop the whole engagement process in a way that no one really knew what went on, okay? That says a lot about this man's character. He's quality. He loves her. He respects her. And he wants to operate with goodwill to her. Wow. I think about so many people where there's been hurt and betrayals in relationships. They don't operate this way. They want to shame their spouse. They want to beat their spouse up. They want to tear them down. And they really, listen, folks, this is about a lot of relationships. When someone got hurt in a relationship, they go attack and tear them down, right? Joseph didn't do that. And he had every right to do that. Now, this is before the angel speaks to him, people. And so before the angel speaks, before he knows what really is happening, his character is already showed up. All right. Secondly, he's committed. Why is he committed? Because we know what happens next. As he's considering this, as he's pondering, what do I do? What do I do? I can't believe she did this to me. She's telling me that God told her this. Oh, yeah, sure. You know, what an excuse. I mean, who knows what went through his mind, right? But as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, this is why I tell people, if God tells one person in a marriage to do something, he's going to tell the other. The Lord never, ever divides a marriage. He will not tell one without telling the other. I've seen so many men who have said, I am the head of the home. I am the spiritual leader. God told me to do this, and you're to submit and follow. Oh, yeah. He doesn't even do that to these two, because when he told Mary, he told Joseph. Why? The Lord will never, ever, ever disrupt a relationship. He'll never tear it down. If he tells me that something's going to happen in the marriage, he's going to tell Luella. And I've learned over the years, just be patient and wait. The Lord will tell me and he'll tell Luella. So why? The Lord never breaks up unity by telling one and not telling the other. And so the Spirit says this, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All right? And we know that he stays in the relationship. He takes her as her bride. And this is what I found fascinating. When he woke up from this, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He was committed to his faith. And because he was committed to his faith, he was committed to the word of the Lord that told him to take Mary as his wife. He was committed to his faith. He was committed to marriage. I think there's a link there for all of us, because so many times, particularly today in 2018, marriage, sadly in the church a lot of times, it's divorced from faith. We say it is, but we don't live the two out concurrently, and that's why so many Christians are throwing their marriages away, because they're no longer happy. And so I'm sure Joseph wasn't happy about the situation he was in, but he was committed. And because the Spirit said to him, this is what I'm going to do, he operates now in commitment and obedience to the Lord. And look what he does. This is fascinating. Nowhere in the scripture did it say that he couldn't have sexual relations with his wife. But he made the decision to not have sexual relations with her until Jesus was born. In other words, he preserved her. He honored the Son of God who was in her womb. And Joseph named him Jesus, not Mary. Joseph named him Jesus because that's what the scripture said, and you are to name him Jesus. Now, he shows his commitment. He is in obedience, and he is the one placing the name Jesus on Jesus, the Son, rather than the mother. I think that's fascinating. He was committed to the relationship. Now, we know that Mary and Joseph engaged in sexual intercourse later because Jesus had half-siblings, right? So at some point, they had to get together. And so we know they got together and had a marriage at some point, all right? And as far as I'm aware, the only other time that we see Mary and Joseph together in the scripture is when Jesus is 12 and was left behind at the temple, okay? Now, we don't know what happened to Joseph. If someone does know, feel free to write me and let me know. But I'm going to assume that they had a good marriage and somehow, some way, he must have died. Who knows? We really don't know. But I'm going to show early here, as I'm trying to, is that here's a man who's committed to his faith, he's committed to his bride, and he's committed to the Son of God. He respects her body enough to not have intercourse with his bride, which he could do even under the law. He could do that, but he didn't, to honor the Son of God that was there. Wow. I think of how many men today wouldn't can't even hold back from being with their wives for a period of time. The man had self-control. He's been waiting to marry this woman he loves and to engage in deep connections with her, only to find out she's bearing the Son of God. And so he marries her in obedience, and I'm sure they had a good marriage. At least in my mind, they did, unless someone can show me otherwise. He was committed, which also shows me that he was very loving towards her. He was very loving towards her. He loves her, and he loved the Lord. So I can glean from this little bit of passage that Joseph was a loving man, and I'm sure he's a strong man. The fact that I can say he was a strong man was look at the self-control he had. He waited to engage in intimacy with his wife so that he could have the Son of God born. Wow. He's a loving man. He's a committed man. He's a strong man. And he is a faith-focused man. A faith-focused man. You see, he was going to put her away. That shows his character. He wanted to put her away quietly. He didn't want the woman he loved shamed. He didn't want her to feel guilt. He didn't want anyone to ridicule her. He wanted her to still be seen as a wonderful woman of faith. That's why he wanted to put her away quietly. By the way, side note, can you imagine being selected? I mean, think about it. We talk about, you know, the Virgin Mary, all right, the Virgin Mary. But just think about Mary as a woman. I mean, of all the women ever created up until that time, the Lord chooses her. Let me tell you something, folks. Mary was a special woman. Of all women, she's the one chosen. She is the one chosen to give birth. But folks, let me also say something. Not only was she chosen to give birth, Joseph was chosen to be the earthly father. Joseph was chosen to be the guy to raise the Son of God as a dad. Joseph was the one who got to impart masculinity, probably taught him the trades of being a carpenter and those kinds of things. It was Joseph was the one chosen to be the dad. We always tend to focus just on Mary giving birth to, but folks, Joseph raised that boy at least until 12 that I can tell from scripture. Will you imagine being the parents of Jesus? the mom and dad to this little boy who is the King, the Son of God. And these two imperfect people are given the wonderful responsibility to raise Abba Father's biological son in this world. That says a lot about those two, about who they were in their terms of their character, who they were in terms of their quality, who they were in terms of their faith. Is it any wonder why the Catholic Church honors Mary so much? I know that would be a difficult statement for a lot of Protestants to hear, but if you think it through, to be the only person, you are the one chosen to give birth, and you are the couple chosen to parent this little one who comes into the world to raise him. Folks, what a responsibility. I don't know about you, but if the Lord showed up and said to me and Luella, hey, I'm getting her pregnant, you're going to have another child, and this is why a child is going to be doing this, I would be like, you might want to choose someone else, Father. I don't know that I'm the one. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, look at me. I got my baggage. I mean, look at my stuff. I mean, you already know me. I mean, why would you want me? Yes, because I chose you. Yeah, I know, but. Wow. I wonder if some of that thinking went through their brain on some level, even privately and quietly. And yet, Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. There we see in the Word of God the obedience to what the angel told him, that you will name him Jesus. And there we see him fulfilling the word that says you are to do it, and we see that he did it. Wow, Joseph was a man who was committed to his Lord, to his faith, and to his marriage. He was a guy that was loving. He loved the Lord, and he loved his bride. And I believe strongly that he loved his son, Jesus. He was a man that was focused on his faith. His faith was the foundation of all that he was doing. Remember, it says in the scripture there that he was considering putting her away and how to do it to make her not. And then as he's considering this, an angel of the Lord appears to him in a dream. I wonder if he was sleeping when he was considering. Maybe these were dreams he was having, trying to wrestle. I think about times that I've gone to bed with things in my heart, and I'm trying to sleep, and I can't sleep, but I'm trying to sleep, and I'm wrestling with some decisions that I have to make or things that are wrestling with me. And next thing you know, the Lord shows up and said, hey, by the way, you know, he was a man of character. He wanted to protect Mary's reputation. He did not want her. He did not want her. He did not want to be any part of her being disgraced. Yeah, let's be honest. At some point, if they've not gotten married, at some point they're going to see she's pregnant. I mean, be honest about it. At some point, people will, hey, are you married? He knew that was coming. He knew that was coming. And yet, the Spirit says, marry her anyways. Stay in there. Hang in there. Love her. You do love her. This is just me working both of you. So he can come and save the sins of the world. And I've chosen both of you as wonderful parents. And you know, the strength of the next generation is based on the strength of the parents. When parents are healthy and loving and strong, kids thrive in those situations. And I believe that Jesus got pretty good parenting. I think, and for the most part, he saw a pretty good, healthy marriage. Now, think about it this way. You love each other. You're marrying Joseph, Rick and Luella. You love each other. You're trying to do your best. And yet you got a perfect son. I used to joke in myself many years ago thinking, what was it like for Jesus to sit back and see his imperfect parents thinking, oh, my goodness, you know? But my hunch is he was a perfect son, too. He was respectful to his parents. He walked in humility. I'm sure that he obeyed his mom and dad. And when they said, hey, you know, you can go outside and play, but come in when the light posts go on, you know, when the night lights, street lights come on. I think he did. I think he said, hey, you need to go and, pick your shoes up and get them out of the laundry room and put them in your closet. I think he did. You see, I think he was a great son too. We know he was. And yet, Mary and Joseph in that marriage exemplified to the best that they can a healthy, loving marriage to this boy. We know that Joseph was a man that was committed. We know that Joseph was a man that was loving. We know that Joseph was a man that was focused on his faith and that faith was central. We know that Joseph was a man of character. And we know that he was caring. He was caring enough to not have his wife shamed, to protect her reputation. You know, maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, wow, you know, that's a great, great picture, Rick. But that's not me. That's not us. I'm going to argue it can be. Because see, I've come to realize this. Mary and Joseph were selected. That means there was something special about them on one level because they were selected. But you want to know something else? If you're Jesus' follower, if Christ is in your heart, if you came to faith in God the Father through Jesus, you came to the Father through Jesus, that means the Father places Spirit in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You have the Holy Spirit, which means then all things are possible. Now, the Bible doesn't say all things are probable. It does say all things are possible. That means the relationship that Mary and Joseph had is possible for you, and not just possible, it's also probable. Why? The Spirit is in you. You just got to know what to do to get there, you see? This culture is grossly immature. I submit the book by Senator Ben Sasse to you, The Vanishing American Adult. It's a sobering look at this nation, how we mostly have emotional adolescents.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew with Washington. More problems for President Trump when it comes to foreign policy. Brett McGirt, the U.S. envoy to the global coalition fighting the Islamic State terrorist group, has reside in protest to the president's abrupt decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria. McGurk is now joining Defense Secretary Jim Mattis in an administration exodus of experienced national security officials. In his resignation letter, Mattis did not mention the dispute over Syria. London's Gatwick Airport strides toward running a full schedule today. Police are questioning a man and woman who were arrested in connection with those mysterious drone intrusions that have created nightmarish conditions for holiday travelers. Negotiations resuming today in Washington, trying to end an impasse over border wall funding. The president still demanding $5 billion as part of the government funding bill. This is SRN News.
For your Saturday afternoon, mostly sunny and cool. Expect the high only 59. Tonight, clear and cold. Low down to 35. Sunday, you may wake up to some patchy fog, but becoming sunny and milder. High up to 66. Sunday night, mostly clear. Low 43. On Monday, on the day before Christmas, mostly sunny. High 68. And Christmas Day on Tuesday, sunny. High 67.
What happens when you build your life on the promises of God? Today on Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author and pastor Max Lucado.
Our God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He is serious about the fact that He wants us to build our lives not on the problems of life, but on the promises of God.
Welcome to Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Five Love Languages. Today, bestselling author and pastor Max Lucado helps us find a hope that is firm and secure in a turbulent world.
Our featured resource today is Max's book, Unshakable Hope, Building Our Lives on the Promises of God. You can find out more at fivelovelanguages.com. And Gary, since you've been a pastor at the same church for about five decades, you have seen the difference, I assume, between people with shaky hope and those who have a firm foundation. Is that true?
You know, Chris, what I found is that when people go through difficult times in life, it's two fundamental responses. One is they run from God. They get angry with God because God is not doing what they think He ought to do. And then there are others who run to God. And those are the ones that thrive, and the others survive and hopefully come to the place where they do run back to God rather than being angry that he's not doing what they think he ought to do. I'm really excited about our conversation today because I believe that our conversation is going to bring hope to a lot of people, and some of whom may be in that place where they're still angry and hurt because God's not responding as they wish he would.
Yes, that's a good way to frame this discussion. Are you running toward God or away from him today? As you think about that, let's meet our guest, Max Lucado. He says he writes books for people who don't read books. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. He's been featured on countless national media outlets, The Today Show, Good Morning America, NPR's All Things Considered, Fox and Friends. Max and his wife, Deanlin, live near San Antonio, Texas. He's still involved in teaching at the church there, and our featured resource is Unshakable Hope, Building Our Lives on the Promises of God. You can find out more at 5lovelanguages.com.
Well, Max, welcome back to Building Relationships.
Gary, it's really a treat to be back on the program. Thank you so much for including me.
Well, last time you were with us, we were talking about a related topic, anxious living. So this book feels like maybe the next logical step to that book. Is that true?
It really is. I would say twin emotions, hope and peace. You know, for lack of peace, we have anxiety. For lack of, you know, hope, we have despair. And I think these are essential qualities for thriving as a human being. And so I really felt like having discussed the whole topic of finding peace instead of panic, that we could turn our attention to this second topic of finding hope instead of despair. And hope is not easy to find these days, and I'm desiring that people will discover a deeper level of this hope.
Yeah, well, that's certainly my desire as we spend this hour together. People are looking for hope. I don't think there's any question about that. They're crying out for hope. They may not be saying it in those words. Why do you think we look in places where we can't find lasting hope, as we were discussing earlier?
What a great question. I think we do it out of just a knee-jerk reaction. I wish I could say that I have exceeded at this, that every day I put all my hope in God. But there are days that I put my hope in my bank account, or I put my hope in my reputation, good or bad, in my work, or I put my hope in a politician or in a government. And the problem with that, as we all know, is that we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. No human being can really bring us hope, and no checking account can bring us hope. In fact, sometimes it brings us fear. And so I think that's why there's such a big message in the Scripture about placing our hope in the living God. You know, Scripture calls on us to anchor our hope. You know, I have a fishing boat, and so I don't know a lot about boats and navigational equipment, but I do know the purpose of an anchor. And when I want to fish, a little cove in the lake where I love to fish there in South Texas, I throw an anchor down. Because I know there's a current, and it'll suck me back out into the big water, and I don't want to go there. Well, what we do in our faith is we throw down an anchor, and that anchor holds us steady and keeps us from getting sucked out into despair and discouragement.
Yeah, and our hope, as you said, is based in God and God's promises. How many promises do we have in the Bible from God to us? Have you counted them?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. There are too many to count. They're in the thousands and thousands and thousands, you know. The unbelievable amount of promises that exist in Scripture remind us that our God is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. He is serious about the fact that he wants us to build our lives not on the problems of life, but on the promises of God. And I think the common thread between men and women of God who thrived in their faith is that they truly believed and built their lives on the promises of God.
Yeah. You say in the book, and I'm quoting here, the question is not, will God keep his promises, but will we build our lives upon them? Which is what you just said, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we get to choose every day. Even today, right now, our listeners and you and I and everybody involved in this program, we get to choose right now, are we going to build our lives on today's pain or the promises of God? Every one of us can do that, and yeah, it's up to us.
You know, recently you spoke at the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. On this topic. What did you take away from the experience you had there?
Well, first of all, I was so very impressed with the Museum of the Bible, the amazing work that's been done by the Green family, who really instigated the whole project, and then also those who have come along and created this amazing collection of exhibits. You know, a person could, I understand, spend a full 7 days there just if they wanted to stop and look at every possible exhibit. We are amazed as we look in the Museum of the Bible at the power of Scripture, the influence it has had upon societies, and the influence it's had upon everything from music to money. Leaders, the development of our own nation and how our leaders have turned to Scripture over and over and over again. I believe this Museum of the Bible helps us remember that if we're somehow we were to extract the Bible from the human conversation, we would really crumble. I mean, it's like taking the keystone out of the archway. The Bible has meant so, so very much over the years.
Well, I agree with you, not only on that conclusion, but also on the museum itself. I think you could spend 7 days there. Carolyn and I were up there recently, and just listening to that. Yeah, it's an amazing reminder of the impact of the Scriptures on our culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in a day and age in which people are questioning the importance of Scripture and the necessity of something stable to turn to hold us on, you know, keep us stable. That's the role of the Scripture. I mean, with you take Scripture out of our lives, and you're taking hope out of our lives. You're taking the story of Jesus Christ, who came to bring us hope, and most importantly, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. That's our hope. He is our anchor for the soul. And that's why the Bible is so absolutely essential to all of us.
Yes.
This is Building Relationships with Dr. Gary Chapman. Our guest today is author and pastor Max Lucado. His book is our featured resource today at fivelovelanguages.com. It's titled Unshakable Hope, Building Our Lives on the Promises of God. Find out more at our website, fivelovelanguages.com.
Everyone at McClenny Primitive Baptist Church wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Hear the Gospel of Grace broadcast from McClenny Primitive Baptist Church Sunday mornings at 8 here on The Truth.
Do you feel called to ministry? When God calls to preach, he also calls to prepare. Conservative Theological University would like to help you get the conservative biblical training that would lead to your certified degree from an associate's to a PhD. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information and one of the administrative staff will contact you for a personal conference to determine the best tract of studies for you. Remember, scholarships and grants are available for qualified students. CTU is located in Jacksonville, Florida at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. The CTU campus is just 1 mile south of I-295. Remember to call today. CTU also has ministry work scholarships available. Your studies may be taken on campus, off campus, online, or by personalized distance studies in your own home. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today or visit conservative.edu.
You wanted to be a teacher when you were little, but as you grew up, things changed. Teaching just didn't seem like the best option anymore, so you decided to become something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Interesting and innovative things are happening in teaching today, so it's time to put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach.